Hey, and we're going to get started here just with a few verses as we're warming up. Those are just coming in. Make sure you have your Bibles open to Philippians. You're picking up there, and also your notepad ready. You're highlighting your pen. Well, here, let's read something out of the book of Enoch here. This is 2 Enoch 31, okay, 3 through 5. We have a few minutes as the rest of the saints come in. Okay, here's something out of 2 Enoch. The Lord is explaining to Enoch, okay, these particular events that unfolded, okay, before Satan fell. Okay, and the devil understood how I wish to create another world, okay, another dimension system, so that everything could be subjected to Adam on the earth to rule and to reign over it. Of course, now, Satan, he admired what God created, but to give it to Adam, he was a little confused about that. But let's read on here. Now he will become a demon. Satan will become a demon, he says here, because he fled from heaven, or fled from the light. Okay, now he becomes a horrid angel. In this way, he became different from the angels. His nature did not change. And we can see the same thing in false religious system today. Their nature doesn't change, but their thought does. Okay, in other words, in the changing religions doesn't mean that the Lord is working within the heart. No, that's the absent regeneration. So, okay, it follows Satan's pattern. Then his nature did not change, but his thought did. Maybe you see this in a false religious system, absent of regeneration. So the false religion provides knowledge, or challenges to be a better person, and provides its a textual psychology, that's selected text to represent a particular mode of behavior. This is what Satan does. Satan can modify his behavior, but at the same time not change the heart. That's what false religion does here. His nature did not change, but his thought did, since his consciousness of righteousness and sinful things changed. His perspective changed to the record of his own soul. We'll be talking more about that in the book of Philippians. And when we jump over there to the Gospel of James, G. Feller Peter also, we'll be reading some verses from there that show this transition and the conflict that exists between these two kingdoms when we get to the Church of Pergamos. Okay, that's out of 2 Enoch 31, 3 through 5. Okay, in Philippians chapter 3, or chapter 1, we're going to pick up where we left off. But I'm going to start here in verse 19, because this is the essence of this union, substance of the union that exists in the righteous, between the saints. Okay, it's like cement between the stones, the bricks. Okay, when you put cement between the bricks, it binds them together. Okay, and as we pray one for another, there's a binding factor. Okay, and it's through this binding factor, that healing is birthed. Okay, healing is birthed because the anointing, as cement, binds us together. Okay, and so by these things, we're identifying the terms of the covenant, which has to do with government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, the gifts, the callings, and the graces of God. Okay, now in I'm going to start in verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. So I like the word prayer there in verse 19. This has to do with the agreement, petition, and supplications. Through the agreement which we have in our petitions and supplications, the Lord provides us richly with his gifts. Okay, nothing arouses the love of God towards us more than faith, because without faith it's impossible to please him. Okay, these are arousal points of the Spirit. Okay, arousal points of the Spirit, very similar to that arousal points of the Adamite, or of anything of nature. Flowers have arousal points to a particular insect, the insect kingdom. Okay, as the animal kingdom, they have their certain points of arousal, one toward another. Okay, the same thing with the Adamites, points of arousal. Okay, whereas through the points of arousal, contact is imminent. Okay, now we have points of arousal in the spirit kingdom, which is faith and charity. Okay, through these things, God reciprocates with gifts towards us. Now we can see this even in the Old Testament, and regarding reciprocation, between Judah and Tamar. by which also she was justified, when she said, by these tokens am I with child. Okay, and by the tokens of the Spirit, we're also bearing the child of Christ within us. Okay, he is being formed within us through the work of regeneration. This is why it says, by the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Okay, points of arousal. Faith, okay, arouses, okay, the attention of God. Okay, faith arouses the attention of God just as much as, okay, particular fashions. Okay, fashions or they can arouse the attention, okay, of the opposite sex. This was a point of powers which God put within the signature. Okay, and God appointed his this anointing and engrafting of the Holy Ghost within us, okay, as an arousal point of this joining, a union, as a, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So his gifts which he provides for us, contribute more to the beautification of his house. Through each point of contact, there's an increase, okay, a multiplication process, okay, which is perpetual now, taking root within us for the baptism of light later. So the truth gives us understanding, okay, and regarding the terms of this relationship, okay, that if you want to get God's attention, you have to use his tokens, okay, and the priesthood which he sanctified for our faith is just that, okay, a token of arousal. Okay, he gave these things to us in order for us to have that relationship and gain his attention. Okay, then Paul goes on here, according to my earnest expectation and my hopes, right, the word hope there. Okay, this is the goal of the Spirit. But he says here, I'm confident of this promise. Okay, I'm confident of this promise here and sealed with results. It's an earnest expectation and hope. Okay, results are born through this form of contact. The gifts, the callings, the graces of God, government, truth, Spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. Okay, all these things which the anointing provides for us are richly to enjoy. This is his pleasure. This is his joy. This is the way God operates. The Lord takes pleasure in these things. Say, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that nothing I shall be ashamed. What he means there, nothing shall be ashamed, nor bear Satan's image. Okay, nor shall his shadow of turning cover my face. Okay, as they do with the cadavers. In movies, quite often, okay, and regarding the covering of the face of the cadaver there, okay, when the medical examiner, okay, after he examines the cadaver there, or the corpse, okay, covers his face, he just covers it over again. But there's no covering of the face of the righteous, okay, because we are as the sun shines more and more into that perfect day. Okay, there is no cloud, okay, of separation between us and that light. No shadow of turning. So there, according to my earnest desire, his earnest expectation, of course, his desire and my hope, that nothing I shall be ashamed through these prayers, okay, and the supply of the Spirit, okay, upon the Lord's visitations. When he visits us, seeing that we have labored within the priesthood and exercised our will with faith, okay, rewards us with a level one dream or a level two revelation or a level three of visitation and in regards to the gift of your calling, which causes great boldness because now we have clearness of the discernment. There's contrast. There's clarity in this contrast. Okay, because by this clarity found from the foundation of truth, the engrafting, the anointing, we can see those things which oppose the kingdom of God. Now we have discernment and we can boldly act, okay, with confidence, with that revelation, which we're doing right now on Facebook and Twitter, okay, and other sources of communication, okay, we can see our boldness, contrast, because the foundation of truth, okay, in this covenant, you're able to take a stand because there's clarity. You have clarity in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, which before in a false religious system, okay, there was uncertainty because of the contradiction of the church down the street. The church down the street, they believed they had truth, okay, as a church also down the street from there. Okay, there was a church in every corner, whether it be Methodist or Baptist, okay, or Catholic Church or Lutheran Church down the street or Presbyterian Church, okay, or Mormon Tabernacle. They all believe that they have some, are embracing some form of truth. In other words, there's some form of persuasion, doctrinal persuasion now. We've just read about that on the book of 2 Enoch. Satan can modify his behavior, okay, but at the same time, not change the heart. Okay, in other words, in the changing religions doesn't mean that the Lord is working within the heart. That's absent regeneration. So, okay, it follows Satan's pattern. Okay, how his thoughts change, but not his nature. His thoughts change, but not his nature. You go from the Baptist church to the Pentecostal church, your thoughts can change, but unless there's a foundation of truth built within you, unless there's participation within the assembly, okay, the circumcision of Christ, okay, remains distant. It's not there. Okay, unless there's a binding, okay, and a building together, okay, of the work of the Spirit, okay, the circumcision of Christ is absent. Okay, when the circumcision of Christ is present, okay, then as we read on here, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Okay, to me to live is Christ, which means by his the tokens of his propitiation, okay, we receive the tokens of life. Okay, in him was life, and the life is the light of men. The tokens give us sight. In him was life, and life was the light of men. It gives us sight. We can see. Okay, we now can have confidence within this contrast between that which God has sanctified and that which is profane, between that which is clean and that which is unclean, between that which is holy and that which is unholy. Okay, the things which God is using for our salvation in sealing us for this adoption as concerning heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, okay, this process, okay, is very valuable. For to me to live is Christ and die is gain. Okay, let's go to the verse above that. Okay, boldness is always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Regarding, okay, a seed of planting for a time of harvest. From a seed of planting to the time of harvest. He's magnified in my body, the glorification. To glorify has to do with adding value to this. Okay, when you add value to something, okay, it expands beyond its present form. Okay, the kingdom of God, okay, is glorified through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, is proceeding and progressing beyond its present form. As a baby, an infant that which is born, proceeds beyond that form of birth, okay, into an adult, to begin the cycle of life again. So here we see, whether it be life or by death, Christ should be magnified in my body, the seed of the flesh. By the engrafting of this, the engrafting of the Spirit is causing my soul to expand and to enlarge, okay, to go beyond its present borders, its present boundaries. Okay, as we continue to consume the knowledge of God, okay, we dine on the bread. As he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Okay, we are partaking of the table of the Lord, which he also said in Revelation. Okay, if we hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Okay, but rather open the door. Okay, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and we will sup together. I will eat with him, sup with him, and he with me. Okay, by these things we bear that crown of peace. Okay, by the tokens he's provided for us, we bear that crown of peace. So therefore, the peace of God rules in your heart. Jesus is Lord of your life. Okay, through the placing of the crown upon your head, okay, by the form of communion, even as the Lord visited Abraham. When our Lord Christ and Michael the archangel, okay, visited Abraham. Okay, that's why we're called children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ, because he visits us. Okay, he visits us with these tokens of knowledge, as he also visited our father Abraham. He visited our father Abraham with knowledge, okay, giving him wisdom, understanding, okay, and truth, so that by these things Abraham became a light of the Gentiles. People were converted, and part of that conversion had to do with the circumcision of acknowledgement. Okay, in other words, a circumcision of acknowledgement, which means you're now joining yourself to the house of Abraham. Okay, the circumcision of the Spirit joins us to the house of Christ. Okay, which circumcision is made without hands? Okay, and our circumcision, okay, is putting our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, eternal in the heavens, a place prepared for us in the chambers of the Lord's heart. Okay, the baptism of light, the chambers of the Lord's heart, okay, the mansions above, which our Lord Jesus explained to his apostles. My Father's house of many mansions, which has to do with the chambers of his house, okay, are the the habitations of our throne as pillars of fire. Okay, and by these things, okay, we expand, okay, the cords of the Lord's house, as one would extend, you see, his tent. Okay, which also we see the prophet Isaiah spoke about. Strengthen your stakes, lengthen your cords. Okay, as the prophet said, and we will be doing that in our Father's house forever and ever and ever. Strengthening the stakes, lengthening the cords, okay, through the policies which would proceed through our stewardship as gods, as kings, and as priests, okay, being points of contact, okay, and the oath of creation which proceed right from us. Okay, so this which we are partaking of right now is a preparatory stage, okay, of the greater things which are coming. As Jesus said, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these things shall he do. Why? Because I'm going to go to my Father. I'm going to complete the cycle, and you will follow me as the captain of your salvation, okay, into my Father's heart. And this will take place even upon the rapture, which we're looking forward to. Okay, and when upon the rapture, we will have a group gathering, and our passage would be through, okay, that altar of fire, through the courts of the temple, that is, into the door of his throne. Forever we'll be with the Lord. Let's go on here. For to me to live is Christ, and his tokens of propitiation, to die is gain. We suffer the loss of the aspiration, being crucified with Christ. Okay, and being crucified with Christ as a tree full of fruit, okay, ready to be harvested and taken to the market. Okay, but if I live in the flesh, he says here, this is the fruit of my labor. Okay, in other words, this is the proof of Christ's knowledge taking root within me, because on my branches hang okay, many various types of fruit, even as the tree of life has 12 manner of fruit. So we see, okay, that God addresses, okay, the uniqueness and variableness of every signature that he created. Okay, it addresses the very depths of your signature and the record of your soul. Okay, changes to the record of that which is superior, the record of Christ, okay, our elder brother. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor here, the knowledge which is taking root within me. Okay, so let's jump over to the book of James right here, and let's see some more about that fruit, and that those which have, well, and also the self-referencing, which is the wisdom of this world. Self-referencing is the wisdom of this world, which the carnal-minded use. Okay, we're going to go to James here, we're going to look at that. So put your marker here in Philippians, and turn to the book of James, chapter 3. So false charity is self-referencing, okay, or self-referencing love. Okay, everything reverts to self, but nothing, okay, extends to the hands of God. There's no reciprocation to the hands of God. It falls short of his glory. It falls short of his glory. Okay, it never matures, okay, beyond the lips, okay, of the sinner. It never matures. It falls to the earth. It falls to the earth. Okay, here we see this in James 3:8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, because it stands its ground until it's been trained. And this is what's taking place within the hearts of all the righteous. Okay, God is training your tongue. How is this possible? Well, first, he'll give you a language to speak, and that's speaking in tongues. Okay, by yielding to this anointing, and by yielding to this grace, the tongue begins to speak the languages of heaven. And then by the foundation of truth, it takes form within you as the circumcision takes place, because circumcision follows the pattern of truth. A new dawning and a new knowledge takes place within you. Okay, a fruit of a different tree takes root within you. Okay, not that which is of the bitter tree, but that of the sweet tree. And we'll be talking about that as we go on. But the tongue can no man tame, and is an unruly evil. It's not subject to any power. Not subject to any power. It's self-referencing. It's unruly, which means not subject to any power. It's an unruly evil, okay, because it's knowledge that's resourced from a different tree. Okay, the sour grape, the bitter water, the thorny nature is from a different tree. But the tongue can no man tame, and is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. In other words, it's causing strange reactions that manifest upon the body different ways. In other words, it's like eating something that causes a rash. Your body reacts to certain things. It could react to, the weather. It could react to the atmosphere. pollution. The body reacts to pollution. Okay, it has like a skin rash. Okay, a skin rash or from something from a chemical plant. Okay, so that is that's full of the deadly poison. Okay, the knowledge of this world causes a spiritual skin rash, okay, within the soul. In other words, it distorts. In other words, it changes his visage, okay, from something that's pleasant to something that's unpleasant, okay, which God did to the fallen watchers, the children of the fallen watchers. Okay, they which were intellectually superior, stronger, and more beautiful. Okay, God put a curse upon them. Okay, whereas their intellect, okay, what they articulated before, okay, and the beauty of their own intellect, okay, was reduced to grunts, okay, and murmurings. Reduced to grunts and murmurings. Okay, and that which was beautified within the visage turned into ugly looking giants, okay, bearing filthy habits, okay, which all he did was consume the produce and labor of good people. Okay, they would consume the harvest. Okay, they would also were causes of war between the habitations, okay, of the giants, as well as also between the habitations of the Adamites. Okay, that's why the fallen watchers taught Adamites concerning the powers of war, the powers of death, the powers of these incantations, the powers of sound. They taught Adamites these things for the purpose of putting points of conflict, okay, between them. And through these points of conflict, Adamites would war against each other. Okay, and of course, the cause of war, okay, would be the reduction of the population. Okay, instead of overspreading the earth in righteousness, which would take place during the ninth week of the millennial reign of Christ, okay, it's now being reduced by war, famine, and pestilence because of sin. Okay, now he says in verse 9, therewith blessed be God, even the Father. Now, why does he say that, even the Father? Therewith blessed be God. Okay, we remember we talked about that. The points of arousal, okay, that which the throne responds to. That which the throne responds to, okay, goes to the Father's bosom. Okay, therewith blessed be God, even the Father, okay, showing the completed cycle. And therewith curse we men. Then we sow passions as to control, to dominate or destroy, okay, that which is the flesh, that which God created, okay, which are made after the similitude of God, okay, in conscience and power, the conscience and power of our Creator, okay, a violation occurs. That's why it's important for the foundation of truth, okay, because without the goal of this bonding, okay, God sets a goal before us, so that by this goal he sets before us, okay, we can enjoy this the tokens of this bonding, okay, bearing the crown of peace. Okay, and he goes on here, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Now this is what James is talking about. Okay, Chief Elder James is speaking concerning the assembly. Okay, the gathering of the assembly together, okay, was for the purpose of blessing. Okay, then it ends up turning into a point of competition. And the false religious system, okay, is famous for that point of competition. Competition between churches and kind of competition between parishioners concerning a rivalry that rises up. So out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. One is the signs of adoption, okay, and then the other is that which is Satan's boasting. And then he says here, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Okay, you need to progress within your understanding. Okay, and progressing your understanding is that you can't be a little children in your understanding. Okay, you can't be a little children in understanding. You must progress beyond that. You have to get familiar, okay, with the behavior of the house of God. Okay, you can't walk into the house of God and begin to rearrange the furniture, okay, for the purpose of your own pleasure. It doesn't go well that way. Okay, God set everything within his house, okay, in perfect equity, okay, and then to invite the unfruitful in there, okay, would result in inequity, in chaos. That's why God created the lake of fire. Okay, the lake of fire is not for purging. The lake of fire is for punishment. Okay, right now, the fire of his engrafting, okay, is for the purpose of purging. Okay, those that do not endure the process of this purging by the engrafting of his spirit, okay, will end up being tormented in the lake of fire, which has to do with removing everything, okay, that the soul would need for the purpose of its peace. The lake of fire is a place of torment. Why would God provide tokens of peace in a place of torment? It doesn't go that way. Okay, the place of torment is a place of separation and darkness and isolation. Okay, whereas the conscience continually feeds the soul. If the conscience feeds the soul with righteousness, then we have peace and a kingdom and presence of our Father, okay, which is the kingdom of peace. He's called peace, the Prince of Peace. But in the lake of fire, it's not that way. The Prince of Peace does not rule there. Okay, rather, the offense rules. So every token that you sowed within this dimension, the sinner, I'm talking about the sinner now, okay, every token which a sinner consumed and sowed within this dimension, okay, becomes the food of offense and regret and guilt when the lake of fire. He's looped to guilt constantly. All those in the kingdom of darkness are looped to guilt. The false religious system is looped to guilt simply because their offering of God is lacking. They have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no progression beyond the present boundaries. For growth, the heart is not enlarged. The soul is being starved by false knowledge. Okay, Satan keeps food from the mouth of the hungry. Okay, but he will definitely give them something for the taste bud. Okay, and it won't be pleasant. Okay, that which for the, see, the soul. The soul is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Okay, but instead of entering the covenant of God to where the soul is now filled, and the longing for thirst there is ceased, it's distracted. Okay, and put within an environment of starvation. Okay, that's the cruelty of Satan's kingdom. In fact, cruelty is his charity. Satan's cruelty is his charity. Satan's care for Adamites is neglect. Okay? And we can see the same thing in that kingdom of darkness, even as the prophet Enoch wrote about. Okay, as concerning the signs of the times, okay, which take unfold within the end, we can see this happening today. Okay, even women will abandon their infants and their babies. Okay, they will abandon them. Okay, they will not care for them. They will cast them out. Okay, and we see this quite often. Okay, people discover babies in dumpsters. They abandoned in the alleys, of course, or murdered, okay, one way or another. These were things which were spoken of thousands of years ago, which, of course, are unfolding today, okay, and is intensifying in these last days, which the prophet said would happen and, of course, is happening now. Okay, now, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. That is, for Christianity is not just an outward expression, but it's a lifestyle and behavior. Okay, we can see this. This is what the angel of the Lord is addressing here in Revelation. So let's pop over there right now in Revelation. Put your marker here in James, because we'll be coming back to James. And we're going to go to Revelation chapter 2. Okay, we're going to talk about the angel of the church of Pergamos. Okay, now the angel of the church of Pergamos is writing these things down for John. To the angel of the church in Pergamos write. The procedure is that the anointing is providing this knowledge for the chief elder. Okay, so upon his approach to Pergamos or Thyatira, okay, or Ephesus or Smyrna, okay, the seven churches of Asia, through apostolic government, the church would receive its form of correction, new direction. Okay, what to avoid and what to embrace. Unto the angel of the church of Pergamos write these things. These things says he which has a sharp sword with two edges. Okay, that one for circumcision. Okay, like a sacrificial knife for circumcising. That means change has to take place if you don't want to, the angel of the Lord to leave. The angel of the Lord sanctifies, okay, your assembly. Okay, if the angel of the Lord is not present, then it's the assembly of the dead, the congregation of the dead. Okay, we can see this today, being Sunday morning. Many people are assembling in the congregation of the dead. Okay, there was a photograph that was taken in a particular church, okay, and in the photograph, there was actually a demon that was present there, a large demon. As they were praising the Lord and beating the drums and playing loud music of worship, it was a calling, okay, a fourth of this spirit, this demon. And if you look closer, you can see that one demon possessed other powers with him, okay, which would excite the people. They would call that the witness of God, which is a seducing spirit. Now, there's also another photograph. Okay, which a person took there, and in the photograph in a church, in a church foyer there, okay, was a ghost, a ghost of a priest or a nun that was there, okay, which was shows again unsanctification. It was the congregation of the dead, no truth, no anointing, and they're outside of God's kingdom. It was the house of Baal. Hey, let's go on here. I know your works. Okay, the activity which you have embraced, okay, needs to be circumcised. Well, what is being circumcised here? Well, as we read on, we can see that there is other influences here. The doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of Nicolaitans. The teaching of these people was bringing ruin, spoiling, and murder. Okay, when we down here, we'll see this. I know your works and where you dwell. Okay, that's the symbol here, is becoming the house of Satan. Even where Satan's seat is. Satan's seat is a place of authority. Your symbol now to learn these defiled doctrines. Okay, the false apostles, okay, is that seat of authority. A false authority. Unsanctified authority. Okay, whereas there's introduced and disseminated, okay, all these particular doctrines which keep the unconverted believers, okay, looped to this form of derision, okay, and in fact they become addicted. They become addicted to these seducing spirits, so that when truth is present, they feel challenged. The conscience being open, the guilt now comes forth for repentance. So instead of repenting, they hide back under, okay, the shadow of doubt again, the Satan's shadow. So I know your works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is, and you hold fast my name. Okay, they're claiming to be that of God's house. Okay, you hold fast my name and have not denied my faith. Okay, which means that they accept the facts concerning Jesus dying on the cross, the historical facts. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, of course, every Christian, the false religious system here, or the earthly church, we'll call it the earthly church here, even today are making mention of these particular points of interest, okay, concerning the historical facts. You hold fast my name, have not denied my faith, even those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr. Okay, Antipas as an elder, okay, was standing against the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and doctrine of Balaam. Okay, they were taking the knowledge of God and began to work independently of his house. And Antipas was standing against it to the point where those of the earthly church, as Cain, began to eyeball, okay, the sacrifice, like the sacrifice of Abel. So we got the Cain Christians and the Abel Christians. The Cain Christians became envious and jealous of the Abel Christians. And so therefore, okay, he rose up against his brother, as against here, the earthly church against Antipas. He was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwells. The false priesthood. The false priesthood began to emerge, okay, which is the unsanctified priesthood. And he says here, but I have a few things against you because you have there them to hold the doctrine of Balaam. Well, that's why. You see what the doctrine of Balaam does. Now, the doctrine, the teachings of Balaam has to do with self-referencing doctrines. For after Antipas was removed, okay, these false ministers spoke boldly and openly their leavened doctrines. Okay, they didn't feel threatened. Antipas's presence was threatening them and regarding remaining consistent to that which is the chief elders gave to them. Chief Elder John gave to them. That's why Chief Elder John here, okay, is going to return back and set these things straight. So I have a few things against you, verse 14. Now remember, this is the, we can see that there's a contrast emerging right here between the sweet water and the bitter water. Okay, between that which is the fig tree and the thorn tree. We have a few things against you because you have in there, there's plants in there that are taking root, which are weeds. But I have a few things against you because you have there them who are doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Right, he gave Balak the option to faith, an option. Instead of coming in a covenant, he stood against the stewardship of Moses, okay, and the teachings, the circumcision. Okay, Balaam wasn't circumcised. Balak wasn't circumcised. Okay, they stood against the circumcision of Moses, okay, as the Midianites did. The Midianites believed that they were, see, the true practitioners, if you will, okay, of Abraham's teachings, being children of Keturah. Okay, they believed that they were holding fast to these true traditions, okay, before the circumcision. Okay, so they practiced the before circumcision. They were identifying with a certain prehistory before circumcision was introduced. Okay, they looked at that saying, well, God spoke to Abraham before he was circumcised. So they're going back to that history, and they stood against it. which became a point of conflict between Moses and his wife, his wife Zipporah, who finally left and went back to her living back with her family. Okay, so let's go on here now. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel and eat things sacrificed to idols. Okay, they were dining on the bitter water, drinking the bitter water and the leavened bread. Okay, to eat things sacrificed to idols, like the gods of Midian in old traditions. Okay, sacrifice to idols and to commit fornication. Okay, which is like, is a family church of the wrong covenant and no stewardship. We see a lot of that today. So have you also them that hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Highlight the word Nicolaitans, highlight the word Balaam. So we see Balaam concerning resisting the circumcision and the government of Moses and a teaching of the Nicolaitans, which is a stacking of covenants, which has to do with that you're mixing the old covenant with the new covenant. Okay, and these are they who say they are Jews and are not, but found them liars. They were not purified in the covenant. They were not those which were following covenant. We are the true Jew which follows the covenant. So here he's the one that's making distinction, as the Spirit today is making distinction between the earthly church and the heavenly church. Okay, the earthly Jerusalem and heavenly Jerusalem. Now, the Apostle Paul made that distinction. Okay, that we are those which are born of the free, and not the bondwoman. So he says there, so have you also them the whole doctrine of Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, highlight the word hate there. Because it opposes the work of regeneration and replaces regeneration by truth with psychology and precept of the law. Now he says, repent. You must accept the stewardship that I'm going to send to you. That's what he's saying. Repent. You must accept the stewardship I send. Will the church today of the second and eighth week repent? There are those which are within that system, the earthly church, okay, that are coming out when the Spirit calls them out. They are leaving. Okay, and that's the purpose of the preparation, okay, of the material which we have, okay, worked laboriously with last 40 years, okay, and to prepare these things in order to assist those which want to go from that darkness into light, to transfer from that one kingdom to the kingdom of Christ. Repent or else I'll come to you quickly. That means if you don't accept, okay, the stewardship I'm going to send, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to fight against them. I'm going to fight against these false ministers with the sword of my mouth. Okay, as the first eighth week, the same thing with the second eighth week, the sword of my mouth. Okay, that is which is holy knowledge. I'm going to pull down the Jerichos of the false gospel. That's what he's saying. I'm going to pull down the Jerichos of this false gospel. Okay, and so the exposure continues on 2,000 years later. Okay, we're pulling down the Jerichos of the false gospel, the strongholds, okay, which were built by the false religious system. Okay, almost about 1,500 years ago, the false religious system began to emerge and began to take form. Okay, and we can see that instead of working from the foundation of truth through the apostolic government and the oversight, okay, they began to take things independently their own way. And that's why, the mother of harlots was born, okay, and is still working today, giving people the drink, the poison of her cup, keeping them in a state, okay, of drunkenness. Okay, as we see in Revelation 17 and 18, they were drunk with the knowledge that she was providing for them. Okay, so it kept them in a state of drunkenness. So this is what Paul's talking about also. Okay, awake thou to sleep and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. So he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. As concerning, this is a token which I'll provide for you, okay, if you overcome this contradiction. So you have to accept the reproof, okay, the reproof of change. That's the same thing that the angel of the Lord said to me. Okay, change, the change, the change, the change now happening. Okay, these four large angels in their orbs were singing in harmony regarding the things which were going to transpire from that point on, and we can see this is exactly what happened. Change, change, the change, and change now happening. And then he said, fulfill the words of the prophets, which we're doing today, fulfilling the words of the prophets. So he has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to him that overcomes this reproof of change, to him will I give the eat of the hidden manna, which is inside the second sanctuary in the ark. Okay, and I'll give him a white stone. Now in the stone here, these are tokens of her virginity, okay, and it's a white stone, okay, which has to do with that, which is vastly different, okay, than the 12 stones which are put in the ephod okay, of that first covenant. It's a white stone, which is an inscription upon it, okay, which has to do with a name which bears the character of God, which is attached to you. And in this white stone, okay, it provides you access, okay, and access and freedom of movement from dimension to dimension, okay, from one heaven to next heaven. Okay, you understand the value of that at the time of its fulfillment. Okay, right now, okay, it's an idea of words, okay, but these idea of words give you some context of why this is necessary. Okay, it's your pass, okay, your garage door opener, if you will, from one dimension to another dimension, so that we're passing through the gates of the holy city, there is no pause. Okay, in other words, you can go right in, okay, from the ticket counter right to the plane. Okay, kind of like thing. You're not going to go through the process of the luggage checking and everything else. You go right from, okay, the ticket counter right to the plane. Okay, so this is what the white stone does, okay, and is, okay, is a point of identification as a holy one, okay, an offspring of the Almighty God, okay, one that's equal to himself. We bear the face of God, okay, which bears the face of everything that he created, which we also will do. We'll be able to do the same thing, bear the face of everything that proceeds from us. To him that overcomes, I give the eat of the hidden man, and we'll give him a white stone, the importance of it. And in the stone, a new name written. Okay, this is inscribed as being inscribed in the ephod as a new tribe. We are the tribe of Christ, which no man knows at this present time, saving he that receives it. Okay, it's a stone of memorial. Okay, and so he that receives it by faith to enter the holy city through the 12 names of the 12 names of Israel, which the gate is the gates of pearl. Okay, and Jesus is that pearl of great price. Okay, so now let's go back to James chapter 3. Okay, so we went to Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, to show the blessing and the cursing, okay, and why these things were written. The apostle, chief elder James, is writing these things, okay, for the repentance of those which he called brethren. My brethren, he says, these things ought not so to be. Okay, in other words, the time of the assembly is exchanging of charity, okay, whereas we bear that record of Christ in its purest form, okay, whereas the Lord, seeing these things, rejoices and visits you and rewards you, okay, for your consistency. Okay, so we'll go on here, verse 12. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine twigs? Okay, each bears its own likeness. So does no fountain, so can no fountain, okay, or soul, okay, both yield salt water and fresh. Okay, that means the soul cannot survive being double-minded, a double-minded believer. Okay, offering envy and then offering charity. Doesn't work that way. Okay, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let those that are learned, okay, now begin to teach also by good example, okay, this foundation. So who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Now let him show the singleness out of a good conversation of sacrifices of charity, the conversation of his works. Okay, and he says here, compliance to stewardship. This is his good work. See, we just read about that. I know thy works, your labor and your patience. Okay, your conversation of his works with meekness of wisdom. Okay, compliance to the stewardship, which the anointing points to build God's virtue, and to also approve, okay, the approval of the building of the house of God. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart's glory, not against the truth, he says here in verse 14. In other words, what he's saying right here, but the unruly, okay, the unruly and the evil will bear an iniquity, and this will stir up this conflict, okay, this evil poison. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, as Satan, okay, again, we talked about that out of 2 Enoch, okay, how his thought changed, but not his nature. We can see this again. Thoughts change, but not nature. Blessing and cursing. This doesn't work that way, he says. In the kingdom of God, the working of regeneration, a circumcision of your heart, identifies you with the house of Christ. He says here, so, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart's glory not, lie not against the truth. Okay, in other words, this is not to be a point of your point of confidence. Okay, and lie not against the truth, don't let it become a cloak. Okay, a cloak to compete with God. Lie not against the truth. Because God does not give us charity that has pretense for its virtue. Okay, your heart will be manifested before all. Now this wisdom he says not from above, he says here. So we see two types of wisdom like we see two types of kingdoms. Okay, there's the wisdom of the flesh and there's the wisdom of the spirit. Okay, the wisdom of the flesh, okay, bears the face of Satan, which is self-referencing. independent of Godhead, severed from the life of God. Okay, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their works were evil. Okay, their works were evil because they were building with the wrong tokens, the wrong kingdom. They were building with the aspiration, the imagination, and the principle, weren't they? Okay, that's the wisdom of this world, which is the wisdom of the flesh. Okay, which works death. It turns back to dust. This wisdom descends not from above, okay, which many claims to be the Holy Ghost is teaching them. The Holy Ghost is not teaching them this wisdom. Okay, it's not the wisdom from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Because it's earthly, because its roots are carnal minded. Okay, and it's devilish. Its wisdom is devilish, self-referencing. It's natural, it's the natural logic, which works with the nature of man, the record of man, whether it be emotional or intellectual. For where envy and strife is, in verse 16 here it says, where envy and strife is, okay, the feelings of suspicion are born. They're born now to vex. Okay, it vexes in variance and emulation, even as Esau did, okay, with Jacob seeking to kill Jacob there, okay, even as Cain did to Abel, murdering Abel, okay, even as Korah did in opposing Moses' government. For envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Okay, so confusion, this is where doubt, double-mindedness are present to sow sedition in the assembly. Now we know that Satan's shadow is now turning away hearts from stewardship, being self-referencing. Let's read about that now in 2 Peter. So let's put a marker here in James again, and let's go over to Peter. Now 2 Peter 2:19. While they promised them liberty, were these false stewards of the earthly church and the scholastic gospel, well, they promised them liberty. They themselves are servants of corruption. So you can see that their thoughts change, but not their nature. So they select Bible verses to represent their faith, replacing the covenant which God gave. It's a record of verse selection is their witness. That's their witness there. Okay, so while they promise them liberty, which we see all the time on Facebook and Twitter, they're making promises. Oh, God is here. God is doing this. God is doing miracles. God is healing. Okay, people are doing this and God is doing that. Okay, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. Their nature isn't changed because there's no foundation of truth. They're outside of government. They're denying that which God sanctified. In other words, the hour of temptation is upon the church, okay, and they're not overcoming. They're rejecting the very tokens to overcome with. Okay, their leadership, okay, they're without leadership. Their leadership is without accountability to free the conscience, okay, from his oath. It's a false Jesus. So while the problems of liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. While they're slaves to their own imagination. While they're using the law for flagellation of the conscience to make themselves feel worthy of God. For whom a man is overcome, okay, what man or religion which was snared them at one time, now they're snared by another spirit. The spirit of this world again snares them because they're using religion and their aspiration to try to gain approval with God. You can't. Yeah, you crucify the imagination and the aspiration and the principle. You can't use those in God's house. You got to use the tokens he sanctified in his house. Of whom a man is overcome is the same as he brought into bondage. Okay, again, he's brought into bondage to just another religion. For if after they escaped the pollutions of the world and Peter saw this, Chief Elder Peter saw this and Chief Elder Peter, okay, tried to rectify these things. Okay, try to correct those. Okay, but we see that he also experienced conflict between in the earthly church. For after he had escaped, because he'd been illuminated, the pollutions of the world of Satan's kingdom, okay, through the knowledge of the Lord, which he sanctified knowledge for faith, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and again tangled therein, but they break the seal of their oath, okay, by neglect and abuse there of the through the world's distractions. Okay, and the fruitless things that they begin to weigh upon them, and that what weighs upon them becomes doubt. It works doubt in them. Okay, doubt, double-mindedness, and sedition. It follows that same identical pattern. Doubt, followed with double-mindedness, then with that derision. Okay, and with also that becomes like insurrection. You become openly opposing to government. Okay, and again entangled therein and overcome, the latter is worse for them than the beginning. Okay, that is when they're first enlightened by his grace to escape. In other words, they saw refuge in the stewardship and then left the city. For it had been better for them not to know the way of righteousness, which is the covenant of Christ. okay, and true faith. The way of righteousness. Then after they have known it, this pattern and priesthood of Christ, they begin to neglect the apostolic council. Then after they've been known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered them. Through whom? The holy commandment came through the apostles, the stewards, whom they are now mocking. Okay, Peter, which was very patient, okay, as a father with a son, okay, the son now became rebellious and wanted to do things their own way. Okay, and this is what he's talking about right here. It's happened in them according to true proverb, verse 22, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, their old habits, and the soul that was washing to a wallowing in the mire. By a string of false justifications, they are borne along, following doubt, birthing envy, emulation and strife, finally sedition. Then they betray their own words as if they woke from a trance. Okay, I remember at one time when I was sharing this knowledge with certain individuals, they say this is of the Lord. They say that the Lord showed me that this is of God, okay, and that you're serving the Lord. And then suddenly but time passes, okay, suddenly they began to speak against it. Okay, this is what Peter's talking about. Okay, at one time they concluded that this was the work of the Lord. As time passed, okay, and because they began feasting at the wrong table, they began to miss assemblies, their prayer life became weaker and weaker and non-existent. Okay, the study of the scriptures, okay, became too burdensome for them. Okay, they found these other distractions and earthly things, okay, more pleasant to themselves. Okay, and all along they think, well, I'll get to it later. Okay, they think, good intentions will save them. Good intentions will not save you. Okay, it's the doing of the word that will do it. Okay, in other words, you have to make the commitment and you have to build. Okay, and that's what he's talking about right here. Finally, because of, the lack of their own effort, they actually betray their own words. Okay, and they think nothing about it. They actually betray their own words. Okay, now let's go back to James here. Okay, and that's back to James 3. So the false liberty is a chain of lies which shackles the soul with these promises. Now we're going back to James. We saw that in the church of Pergamos. Verse 16 again, for where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom is from above is first pure. So I like the word pure there. Okay, the anointing of Christ, which labors in us, to mature us, it matures our hearts, okay, by this fullness, a beginning in the conscience. Okay, so the wisdom which from above is first pure in the conscience, then peaceable. Secondly, bonding in practice, gentle, then a long-suffering, and easy being treated, because it's not ambiguous, okay, it's not ambiguous and prepares you with charity, and easy being treated, full of charity, full of mercy, because it's desirous to give to increase in this value and virtue. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's not mixed with respect of persons, nor does it carry the words of flattery. So it's without partiality and without hypocrisy. Okay, but it's the sweet water, not standing to one's principles. Verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness. Now here we can see chief elder James is now bringing this conclusion to the attention of those under his stewardship. The fruit of righteousness, this virtue, the fruit of righteousness, which is his crown now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. There's the word peace here if I want to highlight that. See, the virtue in this power is the very crown in you, making you worthy and is taught, okay, not in one's principle, okay, which has to do with schism. And of course we see the Apostle Paul brings the same thing out, okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, concerning we are members one of another. Okay, so here we talk about the members one another, which has to do with the gifts which our Father provides for the grafting and for the bonding and for the building of the house of God by the Spirit. Okay, so the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I like the word peace there again. Okay, this is towards this house to build and not to plunder, not to plunder each stone. Okay, the plundering of the stone is as the beast marks his territory. Okay, the animal kingdom marks their territory. They do no building. They just mark their territory. Okay, as concerning this is their area of ownership. But they're not responsible, okay, and regarding its sanctification. Okay, the animal, like you let your dog out in the backyard, the animal just goes to the bathroom. It holds no responsibility for cleaning up what it's put there. So that's the same thing with the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness marks its territory, okay, but all it does is corrupt, pollute it, and destroy it. We can see the same thing among the nations of this world. Everything that they gain, okay, they take ownership of, they begin to destroy it. as a brute beast. And this is what James is identifying here, okay, in certain behaviors. So as a beast marks his territory and the unconverted elders, they make merchandise of you because of ignorance. Okay, the things which you're sowing, okay, doesn't increase, okay, nor does it set order. Okay, those of knowledge set order, like building a house. When you build a house, you go buy a blueprint, okay, and by this blueprint, okay, you order your material and hire your laborers, okay, and all of them contribute together, okay, for concerning this house, which you take responsibility for. Okay, that is, you make it a habitation, okay, a habitable place that's clean. You can utilize, okay, you can enjoy and have pleasure with, not as that which is of the beastly world, the kingdom of darkness. Okay, the Antichrist is going to destroy everything. He's going to destroy everything. But even those which worship him, he's going to bring to the point of complete and utter destruction, okay, at the Battle of Armageddon. Okay, through the policies and persuasions, okay, of his own counsel and wisdom, the first beast, the second beast, and the dragon, okay, will convince their worshipers, okay, and regarding the things which are about to transpire, concerning bringing about the birthing of a new world order through them. Okay, up to that point of time, cities have collapsed, mountains have crumbled, the continents have come back together, the deserts themselves have become flooded, okay, as well as also the oceans and seas have become places that are of desolate forests. Okay, that which is a desert becomes an ocean, that which is ocean becomes a desert. Okay, even the reversing, okay, the sun, the moon, the stars, the darkness. Okay, everything reverts to that one point of corruption. Okay, and the beast, which is making these promises, leads his followers to the point of their own ruin. And him and the beast and the false prophet are cast alive into the lake of fire. Okay, by the word of the Lord himself. Okay, taking them without hand. Okay, cast them into that abyss and the place of fire forever and ever and ever. Now back in Philippians, and let's close here. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Okay, but if we live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what should I choose? I want not. It's concerning the fruit that we admire. For I am in a strait between these two here, he says, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Okay, than enduring this present contradiction. In other words, yes, we want that trophy, we want that reward. Okay, but Paul says, but I can see that it's necessary for my presence to remain here, okay, within this dimension of the flesh, not in the flesh for my boasting, okay, but for the purpose, okay, of your building and your bonding. And the same thing is unfolding today. As it unfolded in the first eighth week, so also, okay, in the second eighth week. Okay, as God again, okay, is initiating, okay, this knowledge in the church, okay, through the stewardship, okay, which becomes the name of the house, okay, by which we're all participating in, okay, which also we're modifying, okay, the understanding for the purpose of this contribution, okay, they're all contributing together, okay, of speaking of one mind and one mouth and glorifying God.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.